Good morning, church. Good morning, church. You are welcome to the fourth day in the month of May, the fifth month. Do you have a testimony? I have a testimony. And I am a testimony. During the course of the week, the Lord brought to my memory some of the experiences that I've had. And one thing that God told me that I never knew was, this is not where the enemy has planned for you to be. That it is somewhere else. But throughout this year, God said, I have stood by you. I have fought for you. I have defended you. I have lifted you. And I am restoring you. And God said, it is a new dawn. Do I have a witness in the house? Please, I will implore you by the mercies of God this morning that you will join us as we sing a million tongues, not enough to praise God. Hallelujah.
Bless me. shout a big hallelujah. Shout a bigger hallelujah. Shout a bigger hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Now, if you know today, you know, today is not just any day. Because in this meeting today, God is going to do unusual things. Now, you don't believe it. I say God is going to do unusual things. I say it again. I say God Almighty is going to do great and mighty things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I want to thank God for the leadership of the church that counted us worthy to handle such a meeting like this. I want to thank God for their daddy, General Pastor, the wife, our admirable mommy. Also want to thank God for our mommy in Israel, Mommy Chi. Please, can you give a Lord her hand, please? Again, I want to thank God for the elders, for the good work that God is using them even to get done in our lives. When I was praying for this meeting, I never envisaged, because there are some few things that have happened in this meeting that evoke a lot of emotion from me. And I know that there is something that God wants to do. As many that are in church today with broken heart, by the time you are leaving, that heart will be binded together in the mighty name of Jesus. I say, every broken heart, the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has anointed me to bind up the heart that are broken. Every heart that are broken, that are thinking that is God still there? Does God answer prayers? Today, God will answer your prayers in the name of Jesus. Everything you have lost, I mean everything you have lost, everything that the devil has stolen away, today, under the auction of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there shall be restoration. Now, you don't believe it. I said there will be restoration. I said there will be restoration. In the mighty name of Jesus. Firstly, I want us to pray one prayer. Job chapter 6. Book of Job chapter 6. I've been praying this prayer for myself, and anywhere I find opportunity to share, I make people to pray this prayer. Job chapter 6, verse 8. Job chapter 6, verse 8. We will start with that. Oh, that I might have my request, that God will grant me the things that I long for. Is it like that in your Bible? Oh, that I might have my request. What do you want God to do for you? That God will grant me the things that I long for. You are going to pray today like you have never prayed before. What do you want God to do for you? Because God is in the house today. I am convinced beyond every reasonable doubt that God is in the house. You are going to pray. I'm going to, God, that which I desire all these years, do it for me. Go ahead and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. All that God, my God, my request, that God will grant me the things that I long for. What do you long for? What do you want God to do for you? What do you desire from God? Oh, that I might have my request. That God will grant me the things that I long for. What do you desire from God? What do you want God to do for you? What are your desires that have failed, but today is going to be materialized? All that God will do for me. The things that I long for. Oh God, that God will do for me. The things that I desire. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, you are not praying that prayer. You know, one day, Jabez, who went to God, he said, today, you have to change my story. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, from verse 9. And God changed the story of Jabez. Anna went before God in Shiloh. And the man of God thought that she was drunk. But that day, the man of God said, go, may the Lord grant you their request. And today, as you ask God, the God of heaven will grant you your request in the mighty name of Jesus. One day, the sons of Joseph have been telling him lies all these years. And one day, they were telling their father, they said, Joseph is alive. And he said, you, these people, you have come again. Joseph is no more. Simeon is not. And you are telling me that Joseph that you brought, his clothes soaked with blood, is alive. And they show him the wagons that Joseph sent. And he said, it is enough. He said, it's enough. I know that my son is alive. What something that will happen in your life that will make you to forget your sorrow? Today, God is going to do it in the mighty name of Jesus. And you're going to rise before God. You're going to pray that prayer again. Now, maybe you are going to have a partner. And you will join your hand with that fellow. And you are going to say, oh God, in the life of this my brother, in the life of this my sister, today, mighty God, grant a request. Grant a request. What she has been looking for all this year. Today, 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 today. God, bring it to pass. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Let God grant the desire of His people. Let God grant the desire of His people. Oh, that my God will grant my request. The things that I long for, that God will bring it to pass. The things that you long for, those things that you desire from God, those things that you plead with God in your closet, with tears in your heart, that God will bring it to pass. That God will bring it to pass. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. As you have requested, may the God of heaven grant you your request in the mighty name of Jesus. I say, may the God of heaven, may the God of heaven grant you your request in the mighty name of Jesus. May the God of heaven wipe away your tears in the mighty name of Jesus. May hearts that are broken, today, such hearts be bound together in the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be answer to every request in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We can be seated. You see, when you see Christian praying, they make you feel that the devil is bigger than God. sincerely. Because 80% of our prayers is directed towards the devil. We bind, we lose, go for deliverances, do us all, as though God doesn't answer prayers. We have so much magnified the devil that when people hear of the devil, it's like they want to run. It is not so. Our God is bigger than the enemy. Our God is stronger than the adversary. We need a reorientation of our mentality. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he defeated the devil. He told us, he said, it is finished. That's what he said. The devil has been defeated. I want you to get that. The devil cannot stand in the presence of God. As a child of God that knows the God that you are serving, the devil will be crumbled, will crumble before you. That is what God did on the cross of Calvary. In fact, in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18, look at what Jesus Christ said. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority, without exception. All authority, all power. Jesus Christ took it from the devil. In fact, in the first place, it does not belong to the devil. It was Adam that handed authority even to the devil. And Jesus Christ came and took away the authority. He now said, all authority, both in heaven and on earth, has been given to me. And he gave a command, go and preach. He handed that authority over to us as believers. So why are you running away from the devil? Why do we just believe or act in a way as though the devil is stronger than God? It is not so. I want us to know that the devil will always come. Challenges of life will always come. It depends on how you handle it. Let's look at the book of Job. Job again. God was asking the devil. He said, where are you coming from? Because he's always wandering all over the place. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the heart, from walking back and forth, aimless wandering. And in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, the Bible said, he goes about looking for whom even to devour. Right from the time that the birth of Jesus Christ was announced, the devil was after him. Even when he was crucified, and he was buried in the tomb, the devil was still waiting for him. So as a believer, be sure, the devil will always come. But how do we handle the devil? One would have thought that after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, the devil will run away from Jesus. The devil never ran away. He came back to Jesus in the book of Matthew, chapter 4. He came, and he was tempting him. Why don't you turn this stone into bread? You must be hungry. 40 days, 40 nights. After that, he said, okay, you pass that. Why don't you just jump down from heaven, from the sky, and, your father will send his angel. And devil, Jesus Christ, even with a wheel of hand, he defeated the enemy. The devil always fails when he comes at Jesus Christ. He will always come. But with Jesus, the devil constantly fails. The Bible says, the king of this world comes to me and finds nothing in me. What you need as a believer is to obtain the presence of God in your life. And that's the title of my message today. The presence of God. What you need, in the book of John chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible said the light shines in darkness and the darkness could not comprehend it. When you carry God within you, the devil cannot stand it. Instead of casting and binding, giving your totality of our attention even to Satan, why don't you devote your time to bringing down the presence of God into your life? And that's where we're going today. Why don't you seek God and you be a carrier of God in your life? That everywhere the Bible says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good because God was with him. The devil could not stand Jesus. Why? Because he was carrying God with him. As believer, our attention needs to be shifted from Satan and to be shifted on God. On what God can do, not on what the devil has done or what the devil can do. We need to be a carrier of God. That any and everywhere we go, people will see God. When I first got born again, in the 80s, when you see a believer without the person talking at all, you know that person is a Christian. That is a glory in the life of that person. You will know that this person is a Christian. And when we are in school, we used to make a joke that every morning we meet in the presence of God, and so we recognize each other. As believers, our attention needs to be shifted even to the God of heaven. Our attention, our prayers need to be concentrated on God and bringing down his presence into our lives. So everywhere we go, the devil himself, we know that somebody has come. You remember? Peter, when he was going, the shadow of Peter alone was healing the sick. The shadow of Peter. When Jesus Christ met the man of Gadara, the man began to cry, "Have you come to destroy us?" Why? Because of God in Jesus. When Paul the apostles, after he had the shipwreck, and then he was trying to warm himself, and viper came out, clutched to his hand. And people were saying, "Oh, Nemesis has caught up with this man. Though he escaped the sea, yet Nemesis is still catching up with him." He did not even blink. He just shook the viper into the fire. And all of a sudden, everybody changed their mind concerning him. He's not a murderer. He's not, a killer. There's something happened. They changed their mind. And they began to bring even the sick, they brought them unto him, and he healed all of them. Why? Because of the presence of God in his life. We need to change our orientation. We need to draw nearer to God. When we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. His presence will fill our life, and those problems, even that you have been battling with, they will disappear. They will melt away. They will vanish away. I thought you would say amen. I said they will vanish away. They will melt away. In the mighty name of Jesus. That's their work. I want us to look at another scripture. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20, I'll just read from verse 4. When you go out to battle against your enemy and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you from the land of Egypt. Verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that go with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. That is the word of God. When you are faced with challenges, don't be afraid. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you. It was the same God that brought you from Egypt and planted you in the promised land. And when you are faced with challenges bigger, stronger than you, don't be afraid. You know, I was taught when I was growing up that I should never be afraid. I never for once, okay, don't let me go into that. Never to be afraid. One man of God said something that stuck into my heart many years ago. He said, when you see people that did not show fear, it's not that they are not afraid, but they refuse to show fear. Did you get that? When you are confronted with issues, it's not that the person that is showing that he's strong, it's not that he's not afraid. No. It's just because he put his trust in God. Challenges of life come. Yes. But the Bible is telling us, when you see, but the Bible is saying, don't be afraid. Look at what happened to David. David was just about 70 years old. And he saw somebody strong, somebody mighty. Even the king of Israel could not stand before him. But David refused to show fear. He was acting out this scripture. When you see horses, when you see chariots, when you see people stronger, mightier than you, the Bible says, don't be afraid. Why? Because the Lord your God that brought you from Egypt is actually with you. And you see, David had a better perception. He had a good perception. He said, are you come to me with all the instruments of war? But I am coming against you in the name of the God of Israel, whose army you have defiled. The battle is not between David and Goliath. No. The battle is between the God of Israel and the God of Israel and the God of the Philistines. That's what defined the battle. It is not David. No. David, physically speaking, cannot match Goliath. But there is a God in the life of David. That same God is your God. There is a God behind David. It was that God that fought that battle that day. How can a stone kill a man? It's not the stone. It was actually the finger of God that gave a strong velocity, force to that stone that pierced through the helmet and went through the skull and destroyed even Goliath. And we are saying today that that is what God is prepared to do on behalf of every and any child of God that knows God. So today, don't see that battle as your battle. No, it is not your battle. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when the enemy came, the people of Ammon, the people of Syria, and the people of Hamor came against Jehoshaphat. God said, no, Jehoshaphat, you don't need to fight in this battle. You don't need to fight. Not at all. You are not fighting. I am fighting this battle for you. And the Bible says, when he consulted together, he said, hey friend, let's begin to sing. Why are we singing? Because God is in our midst. Because God said he's going to fight this battle. And God fought that battle. That is is the way God does for the people that knows it, as God. Change your mentality today. Don't waste your time with the devil. Spend quality time with God. And let's see the devil that is going to stand your way. I thought I'm going to hear amen.
Amen.
Shout a big amen.
Amen.
Shout a bigger amen.
Amen.
Let me read one more scripture before I leave that. Isaiah chapter 49. But thus says the Lord, even the captive of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contend with you, and I will save your children, and I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as a sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, I am your Savior, and I am your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. I will contend with those that are contending with you. I will not only save you, but I also will save your children. Why? Such that people will know that I am your Lord. I am your Redeemer. I am your God. Because whatever touches you, touches me. Maybe you didn't get that. If you are failing, that shows that God, your God is a failure. But when you are winning, that shows how big and how strong your God actually is. And from today, that will be your testimony. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's go into the meat of the message. We are just trying to build up. Numbers chapter 23. Or let's start from number 22. Numbers 22. I'm reading from verse 1. Then the children of Israel moved and encamped in the plain of Moab on the side of Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak the son of Zippor saw that all that Israel has done to the Amorites, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. Can you imagine? So Moab said to the elder of Midian, now this company will lick up everything about us as an ox licked up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was the king of Moabite at that time. Then he sent messenger to Balaam the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are set next to mine. Therefore, please come at once. Curse these people for me. And then the whole story goes on. He harped about what God has done even for the people of Israel. Balaam and all these people harped what God is doing for the people of Israel. And the Bible says they were sick of dread. Do you know that's how the enemy is? That's how the enemy is. The enemy is actually afraid of you. You don't know. But if you show fear, it pounces on you. But if you refuse to show fear and hold your ground in the name of the Lord, the Bible says, resist the enemy and he will flee from you. That's what's going to happen. But if you blink an eye and run, then he'll run after you. But if you stand your ground in the name of the Lord and resist the enemy in prayer, he flees away from you. Yeah, let's go on. Let's go to chapter 23. Let me read from verse 19. Numbers chapter 23. Now let me read from verse 1. He had not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God bring them out of Egypt. He has the strength like that of a wild ox. For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. I pray from today, your testimony is going to change. You will not be talking about what the devil has done. You will begin to talk about what God is doing and will start doing in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, when Israel was going, Israel did not know what was happening. They were just moving from Egypt. They were just approaching the Moabites, the Midianites. They were just approaching them. They were just going on their own. They don't know the spiritual battle that is raging all around them. They didn't know. They are very much unaware of it. But God, because God was in their midst, God was fighting their battle for them. Because the shout of the king was in their midst. Because God was in their midst. And God could not see any iniquity in them. So God was strong, able to fight for them. They were cursing them. 3 times, Balaam tried to curse them. But instead of cursing, it was blessing. Why? Because God was in their midst. Because they were carrier of the presence of God. Instead of curses, it was blessing. They were throwing arrow at them. The arrow was flying back. Instead of curses, it was just blessing. And Balaam beat the hand of Balaam. He said, I told you to curse these people. These 3 times, you have blessed them. If you carry the presence of God, if God is with you, the enemy cannot stand. Whatever the enemy is doing, it will be back, going back to the sender. So what I'm challenging us today is, be a carrier of the presence of God. Number two. Okay, maybe let me just read something in Numbers 24, verse 9. Okay, I think we should just go on. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. I want to read from verse 19 and then verse 20. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. But it was a cloud and darkness to this one, that is to Egypt. And it gave light by night the others. So that one did not come near the other all the night. The angel of God that was following them. Now, you know what God did to Egypt? You know what God did to Egypt? God emptied Egypt. That is just what he said. All the gods of Egypt were destroyed. God did not stop there. Now, he now told Moses, he said, look, I'm going to harden the heart of Pharaoh. He will follow after you. So when they got to the Red Sea, God told Moses, why are you crying to me? Stretch forth the rod with you into the sea. The sea parted. And I thought Pharaoh should have sense. I think he should have sense. Have you ever seen a sea being parted before? And he saw the water became a wall on the right and on the left. And you still want to pursue these people? and the people of Israel walk through the dry land, and Pharaoh and all, and you see what Pharaoh did? All the chariots of Egypt, all the army of Egypt, everything that is of power in Egypt, physical power, follow after the children of Israel. And all of them got drowned in the Red Sea. Now, remember, the heir to the throne has been destroyed. All the firstborn in Egypt has been destroyed. Now, all that matter, the resources of Egypt, has been taken away by the children of Israel. So literally, because of the children of Israel, God emptied Egypt. Oso diaoro. He emptied Egypt. He said, look, Israel is my firstborn. Let Israel go. And he said, who is this God that you are talking about? Oh, God, I said, okay, I'm going to show you who actually I am. And he followed it. And God emptied Egypt. God emptied Egypt. The same way God is going to empty your adversary. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those on relentless pursuer. God is going to annihilate them. In the mighty name of Jesus. He emptied Egypt. And before God did that, when the children of Israel were by the sea and they saw the army of Egypt, they were very afraid. And they began to talk to Moses. And I think that means Moses also, his heart must have shook. I say, look at army, this great army. And he began to call on God, and God said, please shut up. Don't cry. This is not the time for crying. This is the time that I want you to know who actually I am. I am the God of the whole heart. I am the God that makes the sea. I am the God that makes everything in it. All human beings belong to me. There is nothing on the face of the earth that I, God, does not have power and control over. Stretch forth your hand to the sea. And he stretched forth the hand. And the Bible said, throughout the night, wind began to blow. As the wind of the Spirit of God is blowing this place today. The wind began to blow. And the wind blew all the night. And all the water was separated. And then they parted. That's how God is. That's who God actually is. That's how mighty our God is. And after they have crossed to the other side, the children of Israel must have turned back and saw all the armies of Egypt following after them. And God said, Moses, it's time for action. Stretch forth your hand back into the water. And the water began to come back. And the water covered all of them. And God was fighting for them. God removed the wheel of their chariot. And the Egyptians, the daughter absent, he said, Moses, can't you see this is God fighting for Israel? But it was too late. In the next money, the Bible made us to understand that the body, dead body of the Egyptians were all around the shore. Can somebody give a big hand to the Almighty God? Let's give a big hand to the Almighty God. Let's give a big hand to the Almighty God. Let's give a big hand to our Almighty God. Let's give a big hand to the Almighty God. Let's clap our hands to the Almighty God. That is the God that you are serving. I'm just trying to present to you the God. And you see, in one scripture, he said, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. That is the name which I want people to know me. When people are thinking of me, I want them to remember Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel. To remember what God has done even for these people. They are his own, just as you also belong to God. And there is nothing God cannot do because of you. I mean, there is nothing God cannot do. There is no battle that God will not fight because of you. If you are really faithful to him. Again, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 15 to verse 17, because of time, One king, the king of Assyria, he asked his men, he said, look, who is for the king of Israel among us? And they say, Oga, there is nobody. But there is a man in Israel. What you are doing inside your bedroom, he knew about it. And he said, okay, boys, let's go and arrest him. How can somebody, when they told him that what you are doing in your bedroom, he knew about it, and you see gather having to go and arrest him, something is wrong with him. And they came. And in the morning, the servant of the man of God came out and he saw chariots all over. And he was afraid and he ran to Elisha, the master. He said, Master, we are doomed. We are surrounded. They have come. And he said, those that are for us are more than those that are against us. Those that are for us are much more than those that are against us. Lord, open the eyes of this young man. And the young man saw bigger chariots, stronger army that surrounded the people that surrounded them. And that day, they called for the king of Israel. And he said, my master, should I kill all of them? He said, you don't kill people like that. Man. He said, these people are already kidnapped. They are already defeated. Why are you wasting your time? Prepare food for them. Let them chop. Let them eat. They are already demoralized. And then, that was the end of the battle. Again, the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Verse 16 to verse 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Peradventure. If it's not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. And that one provoked the king. He said, you these boys, you have forgotten your status in this kingdom. Don't you know that you are slaves? Don't you know you are slaves? Because we have given you some appointment in my kingdom. That is why you are misbehaving like this. Young people, go and heat up that furnace. And they heat up the furnace. And they threw them inside. The people that went to throw those people inside got destroyed. And all of a sudden, the king, it was the same king that now said, he said, is it not true that we threw three people into this place? Now, I can see four people in the furnace. And the fourth one is like the Son of God. These people were not binding, were not loosing. But because the presence of God was in their life, God showed up. Even the fire could not burn them. The Bible says the ears in their body was not burned. They lost nothing. Why? Because God was with them. The presence of God was in their lives. The same thing also happened to Daniel. The Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 6 that the king was thinking of promoting Daniel above all the three presidents and making him like what Pharaoh made Joseph on the other day. And so people were not pleased with it. And they tricked the king to make a law. And afterwards, the Bible says, when Daniel knew that he had passed their law, and the king had signed it, he went to his house. He opened his windows as usual. He did not close the window. He opened it as usual. He knelt down. He maintained his hour of prayer. And they arrested him. The king did everything to save him, which was not possible. They threw him into the lion's den. And that day, the lion had to fast. No food. Why? Because the Son of God was in their midst. No food at all. And the following morning, when the king was coming, he said, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the Most High God, is your God that you are talking able to deliver you?" And Daniel said, "My God is able to deliver me. He has delivered me from the mouth of the lion." God in the life of Daniel. God delivered him. I've mentioned David. I've mentioned Jehoshaphat. Let's now look at what happened to in the New Testament. Let's look at what happened to the Apostle Peter. Acts chapter 12. From verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayers was offered to God for him by the church. Verse 7. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up and saying, "Arise quickly." And his chain fell off his hand because of the presence of God. Nobody untied the chain, but the presence of God unties the chain. The way the presence of God is going to untie your chain today in the mighty name of Jesus. The presence of God untied the chain. Verse 8. Then the angel said to him. Sorry. Okay. And the Bible says, "Arise quickly." And the chain fell off. Then the angel said to him, "Guard yourself and tie your sandal." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." Let me read verse 11. When Peter has come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the children of Israel." That is God. Not only did the chain fall off, the gate, as he was leading Peter, the gate opened. First gate, second gate, because of what? The presence of God. When he came back to his senses, he said, "Man, this is not a dream. This is a reality. That God has sent his angel to deliver me from the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the children of Israel, from the expectation of the Jew." Presence of God in the life of Peter. Acts chapter 4. Verse 23. And being let go, Acts 4:23, they went to their own companies and reported all that the chief priests and elders had done. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the might of your servant David," and they went on. They reported the matter to God. They are threatening them. They reported the matter to God. And the Bible says the presence of God came down. They were anointed the second time. Fire came down even upon them. And they said, "God, please anoint us again." And God anointed them again. Such that greater miracles, more than before, began to happen in your life, in their life. That is what you need. I call the second touch of God. They received the second touch of the Holy Spirit that day. And they went about preaching the gospel. You also need that second touch. You have been baptized with the Holy Spirit before, but you need second touch. You need God to come into your life afresh so that all those chains can be broken. So that all those shackles can be broken. So that all those curses can be wiped off. So that all the enemy will crumble and fall even in the presence of the Almighty God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. However, Numbers, let's go back. Numbers 23, verse 11. Verse 21. This is the only condition that can make God to withdraw himself. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord is God is with him. The shout of a king is among them. That is the only thing. By the time we got to verse 24, and these people began to play harlotry. Let's look at it. They began to play harlotry. Verse 25. Now, Israel remained in Asia, grew, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifice of their God, and the people ate and bowed down to their God. So Israel was joined to Baal, or Baal of Peor, and the anger of God arose against Israel. God asked me to tell you, that is the only condition that can make him to withdraw his hand. Sin is the only condition that can make you not to experience God in your life. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Behold, the hand of the Lord is not shutting that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquity has separated you from your God, and your sin has hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Do you see that? That is the only condition. That is the only condition. Get rid of sin in your life, then you will experience God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. It is not see. No man shall experience God. Without which no man shall experience God. Do you want to experience God? Then live an holy life. You know, recently I came across one scripture. The Bible says, now told us the reason for Sabbath. He said Sabbath was instituted so that people can sanctify themselves, can be consecrated. When a man is consecrated, he drew the presence of God into his life. And that's why God mandated for the children of Israel, keep the Sabbath. During the Sabbath, you will be consecrated. And when you are consecrated, I will come into your midst, then I fight your battle for you. Run away from sin. If you want to experience God, how do we experience God? Number one, the study of the Word of God. When the enemy came after Jesus Christ used the Word to defeat the devil. When you study the Word of God, you will know exactly how to pray. You will know what to pray for. There are some scripture that will jump out of that Bible. Some scripture will drop out. You will have inspiration in the Word of God. And you will know exactly what you need to pray about. The number two is prayer. Number three is fasting and prayers. The number four, the book of Jude, verse 20. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You need to pray in the Holy Spirit. You know what Paul said? He said, I pray in the Holy Spirit, I pray in tongues more than any of you. You need to pray in the Spirit. You don't know the situation around you. The children of Israel never knew that there are some people that were making incantation, divination, enchantment against them. But that was the situation. If somebody has been praying in the Holy Spirit, maybe he will have picked up. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Spend time with God. Pray in the Spirit. That's number four. Have a prayer partner. The Bible says, one shall chase a thousand. Deuteronomy chapter 32, 20, 30 to 31. One shall chase a thousand. Two shall chase ten of thousands. Have a prayer partner. Your wife is your best prayer partner. And that's why the enemy is against the family. Your wife is your best prayer partner. When the two of you, and I think, you see, God is so wise. I think that's one of the reasons why God created marriage. The two of you, one will chase a thousand, two will put ten of thousands to flight. Number six, take advantage of corporate prayers. Every Sunday when I'm coming to church, I come to church with one need or the other. I don't just come to church. I come to church offering in my hand, also needs in my second hand. I want God to do something. Take advantage of the corporate prayers. The Bible says, we are two or three are gathered together in my name. I am in their midst. Take advantage of the corporate prayers. Number seven, break bread constantly. Amen. Amen. Is somebody sleeping beside you? Tell the person to shout hallelujah. Okay then. Nobody's sleeping. Break bread. You know Jesus Christ. That was the day in the book of Luke. The disciple, Jesus Christ has just died. And the disciple was going on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus joined with them. But they couldn't recognize Jesus. But when they got to where they were going, they asked him, it's late, why don't you pass the night with us? And he said, okay, bring bread, let's eat. And he broke the bread. Immediately he broke the bread, their eyes got open. They knew he's the master. That is the only person that does that. In the book of Acts chapter 21, when the disciples of Jesus, when they were discouraged, and Peter led about seven of them to go out fishing. Let's go back to our profession. Let's forget about this. And Jesus Christ was standing by the shore. And he said, children, do you have any meat? And just said, that is the master. And when they came, he broke the bread. Anytime you observe the Lord's Supper, Jesus Christ steps in. That is a mystery. Anytime it's a way of bringing down the presence of God. You can break bread every day. There are some churches that every Sunday they break bread. Break bread on your family altar constantly. There is no battle. There is no battle that can cross that red line. That red line is the blood of Jesus. There is no demon that can cross that red line. It is not possible. It is not possible. You bring down the presence of God into your life by breaking bread, by inviting Jesus even to come and sup with you. Psalm 22 verse 3. When we worship God, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. When you do all this, you bring down the presence of God into your life. Shout the bigger hallelujah. Shout the bigger hallelujah. Now, from all these things, I want to round up. I see I have a lot to say, but I don't want to bother you. Because there are benefits of the presence of God. But let's look at one. Let's look at some. Let's look at Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary. Israel is dominion. God was present in their midst. And you know what happened? The Bible said the sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. Mountain skipped like ram. Hill skipped like little ram. And he said, oh, what are like the old mountain that you are skipping? Oh, thou sea, what did you see? That you are drawing back, that you are running away. He said, oh, who will not flee at the presence of the God of Jacob? Who turned the rock into a standing water and fleeing, even while going to fountains of water? That God. just God? Who will not flee at the presence of God? Who can stand the presence of the God of Jacob? Who can stand? Nobody. Mountain, ski, hill, ski, problems disappear. Hindrances went away. Unimaginable happened. Rock began to bring out water. Rock began to spin out water. It became fountains of water. Why? At the presence of the God of Jacob. They can't stand it. They can't stand it. At the presence of God, mountain melt. Mountain skip. Mountain disappear. Situation happens. Unimaginable happen. Unspeakable happen. Things that is beyond human knowledge and understanding happens at the presence of God. When God is there, you know God is there. If God is not there, you know God is not there. Shout a bigger hallelujah. Shout a bigger hallelujah. Today we are going to pray. You are going to ask for the presence of God in your life. You are going to ask God to baptize you with His presence. You are going to ask God, God, I don't have you, I want to have you. You know what happened? When Moses was dedicating the tabernacle, it got to a time that the glory of God came upon the tabernacle, and the cloud of God came upon the tabernacle, and the glory of God filled the tabernacle. Moses could not minister. He went back. When Solomon was dedicating the temple, the same thing happened. The blessings of God came down. Today, the presence of God is going to come mightily into your life in the mighty name of Jesus. When Moses descended from the mountain, 40 days, they couldn't look at his face. Why? His face shone because of God in his life. His face began to shone because of God in his life. That is what we need. That is what we need. Not just playing with the devil. No, that's not what we need. What we need, the disciples, when they were threatening, they were not casting. They were not binding. They were not saying they should die by fire. No, they asked for God. And God came down in their lives. And miracles have been happening before, but at a lower level. But now when they receive the second thought, the shadow of Peter began to heal the sick. Things that were not happening before began to happen. That is God. That's what we need. You know, God asked me to use Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 4. That's where we started from. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of God. And God showed me a scripture. Psalm 81, verse 6. No. I think it's Psalm. Let me try and lay my hand on that psalm. Well, I can't lay my hand on that psalm. But what that psalm is saying in these days. Okay? 81, verse 6. Yes. It's correct. I removed his shoulder from the body. His hands were free from the basket. I removed the shoulder, the body from his shoulder. And his hand was removed from the basket. Now, do you know what that means? The children of Israel, when Moses was demanding that the children of Israel would leave, Pharaoh got angry. And he told the taskmaster, it's because these people are lazy. That is why they are demanding for freedom. Now, don't give them straw again. Don't give them straw. And they must produce the number of bricks that they were producing before. And the children of Israel went to Pharaoh to dialogue with him. And Pharaoh said, look, I'm the one that instructed them. And when they left, they said, now it has been determined. Evil is determined against us. And the taskmaster were beating them. Produce the number of bricks that you are producing before. We are not giving you straw. And God said, he removed, he delivered them from that burden. It was a burden. It was a double burden. It was a killing burden. It was a destructive burden. It was a burden that was killing them. And God said, you want to do that in this church today? There are some people under some oppression, burden, and God wants to remove them. Give us straw. We are not giving you straw. Produce the number of straw, that the brick that you are beating. And they said, look, how can that be possible? We will go and carry straw, and we still are going to make brick. What kind of job is this? And God said he delivered them. He delivered their shoulder from the burden, and their hand from making bricks. He delivered her from baskets that they were using in making bricks. And today, we are proclaiming the acceptable year of God, the year of Jubilee. It is an acceptable year. In Israel, after 50 years, 150 years clocks, they proclaim Jubilee. Everybody go back into all the slaves, all the people that have been captured, all the people under burden, all the people that cannot pay their debts, all people that are in trouble, they blow a trumpet. And when they blow the trumpet, they go back. They are free. Because it is an acceptable year. And the Bible says, in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 9. Luke chapter 4. Verse 19. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim the acceptable year of God. Today is the acceptable year. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Both days are coming together. The acceptable year, the acceptable time. Today is the acceptable year. Today is the acceptable time. Get ready to be free. Because you must be free. Those situations are not the will of God. No, they are not. They are not the will of God. The pain, they are not the will of God. It's planted by the devil. And they must go. In the mighty name of Jesus. We're going to proclaim the acceptable year. Please, you don't mind, can we rise on our feet? I want you to pray. If you don't mind, you can join hands. If that will make it your prayer to be stronger. God, baptize me with your presence afresh. Hey, I need a fresh touch. I want fire to fall into my life. I want situation to change. I want you in my life. Go ahead and pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, pray for God's presence in your life. Let the presence of God come. Let the presence of God come. In your presence, I'm so happy. in your presence, I'm so glad. Hey, in your presence, there is anointing. Oh, and anointing, anointing, it breaks the yoke.
In your presence,
in your presence. Ramos seketo blokush kavale. Let the presence of God come. Let there be the touch of the Holy Spirit. Let there be the touch of the Holy Spirit. Let the presence of God fill everyone. Let God come down. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, if I a husband here in this church today, and your wife is yet to conceive, you have a work to do today. You know why? The Bible says, and Isaac pleaded with God for Sarah his wife. Lay your hand on the stomach of your wife. It is time for her to conceive. It is time for her to conceive. Locate where your wife is. Lay your hand on her stomach and say, Lord, I plead on behalf of my wife today. Let there be conception. People of God, let's pray for them. Every wife, every womb must open. 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 You must be a carrier of your own babies. Just lay your hand on her stomach. Lay your hand on her stomach. Miracle got to happen. Miracle is happening. Miracle is happening. Miracles are happening. Miracle is happening. Today is a miracle day. Miracles is happening. Miracle is happening. Miracle is happening. Miracle is happening. Miracles are happening. Miracles are happening. Boom! Open! Open, open, open. In the name of Jesus. Let boom open. Open. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. If you have a marriageable age, the husband has not come, the wife has not come. Lay your hand on your head. We're going to pray for you. You don't need to come out. Just lay your hand on your head. The presence of God is here. The presence of God is here. That reproach we command by the word of God and prayers. We command you to be rolled away in the name of Jesus. I said that reproach. That reproach. Hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. I command you. You are a burden on that shoulder. And I command that burden be lifted in the name of Jesus. I say you burden, burden, burden. Hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Be lifted in the name of Jesus. The Bible says at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We proclaim Jesus in your life and we command the body to be rolled away in the name of Jesus. It's all right. You know, I saw something when I was praying. I saw family that are fractionized. It's like bones that are crushed. If your family is undergoing storm, Jesus Christ, you know, Moses parted the Red Sea. When the ark fell into the water, Elisha miraculously brought it out. But when he came to Jesus and water, he ride on water. He actually ride on water. He does not need to part water. No, no, no. He doesn't need to part water. He rode on water. He was riding on the storm. And every storm in your family, let's begin to pray. Let's begin. Every family that is undergoing storm, that are fractionalized, that the devil has entered and scattered it, let's ask the Lord to bind those families together. Let God turn the house of the wife to the husband, the husband to the wife, The straying children, let them call them back home. Let God ride the storm. Every family that are undergoing crisis, we bring Jesus into the family. And we command solution to every situation. Oh, thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Whatever the situation today, I want to give you one more time, opportunity, to pray for yourself. What is that? You know, we started by saying, oh, that thou will do for me that which I request. That you will do for me that which my heart desires. This is the time of miracle. Go ahead and ask God. What do you want God to do? What do you want God to do? One more time as we begin to round up. What do you want God to do? What do you want God to do? God meets the needs of your people. Let them go back home delivered. Mighty God, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Every sickness, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, that in the evening they brought to Jesus them that were sick, them that were oppressed, and the Bible says all of them were healed. God is in the house today. What is that sickness? What is the name? Oh my. What is the name of that sickness? What is the name? If you don't mind, if you want to come out, come out. If you want to stay there, just stay there. I just want to pray. I also want to pray. You can lay your hands on that sickness. You can do whatever you feel that is necessary to receive from God. Because God is in the house. Because God is in the house. In the mighty name. The Bible says, the stranger shall hear my voice, and they shall flee out of their hiding places. Every stranger, whatever name you are called, every stranger, sicknesses, diseases, affliction, trouble of all sorts, and can hear the word of God. I send the word of God. The Bible said he sent forth his word, and the word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. We send the word of God into everybody that is sick, and we command the sicknesses, the diseases, the infirmity to fly out in the name of Jesus. I say, fly out in the name of Jesus. Where you are dwelling is not your place. You are a stranger. You are a stranger in the body of God's people. You are a burden in their life. And today, we command the burden of sicknesses, diseases, affliction, trouble, torment, possession, affliction. We command you, be gone from them. In the name. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. In the name of Jesus. We proclaim, by the Spirit of the living God, the acceptable year. The acceptable year. The year where everybody shall go free without paying a cobble. We declare it. We pronounce it into every life, into every home, into every business, into every family. In the name of Jesus. We proclaim freedom. We proclaim liberty. we proclaim deliverance in the name of Jesus. Let the captive go free. Let your breast be loose. Let the captive go free. Let your breast go free. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. 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 Put your hands together and clap for Jesus. Just clap for Jesus. Let's clap for Jesus. Let's clap for Jesus. Just clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Clap. Keep clapping for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Just keep clapping. Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. The Son of God. The King of Israel. The mighty one. The God that fights for his people. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Amen. We are going to sing and dance. You know, in the Yoruba version, won ni ni ojo ale nigba ti orun wo. Won gbe abirun wa sodo re. Oniruru ni aisan won. Ṣugbọn won fi ayo lo le won. You are departing this place with joy. I say you begin to sing a song of joy. You are not going to talk about from today. Because the Bible says, no divination, no enchantment against Jacob shall prosper. And it shall be said what God has done. It's not what the devil has done. You will not be talking, you will not be cataloging what the devil is doing. You will begin to talk from today what God is doing, what God has done in the mighty name of Jesus. Give us a danceable song.
Empty ye for all you are,